Hey guys, welcome to It's a Bronx Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees.
All right guys, so on this week's episode, we are going to be talking about the Twin Series and the Cubs Series. I was out of town for this whole weekend, so we weren't able to record for the Twins, but so we'll just talk about both in this one. And then across the MLB, we wanted to talk about Tony La Russa and that whole situation, the White Sox and kind of their downfall that's going on right now. We wanted to talk about the Jared Walsh getting a cycle. That's obviously a short mention. And then we want to talk about the NL East and just how the Braves and Phillies have been on an absolute tear. And while the Mets are still doing good, their division lead is shrinking day by day. So that's kind of the general idea for this episode. And obviously, there are some other things we're going to talk about, but they're kind of intertwined with the games that the Yankees have played. So we'll start off with the Twin Series, started last Tuesday.
Yeah. So I think going into this series, we had like great pitching. So we had Tyone, Cortez, and Cole going for us. So, you know, they've been unbelievable. And like the way I always think about the Twins is that like they're our safety blanket. No matter what, we're always able to crush them. Like we have a ridiculous stat against them where we're like 37 and 95 against them. Like that's insane. So they're 280 winning percentage against us, the Twins. That's crazy. So no matter what, you know, like where they say, like, if something's not working, you know, you just need a reset. The Twins are our reset. You know, no matter what, just face the Twins and we'll be right eventually. Mm-hmm. We'll get right.
Yeah, I mean, a big takeaway from this series, we'll get into other stuff, but Aaron Hicks just seems to be back to, like, an all-star player whenever he plays in Minnesota. I'm sure everyone remembers 2 years ago now, I think 2019, when Aaron Hicks made the diving catch to win the game after hitting a 2-run home run to tie the game or go ahead, and like that crazy 14-13, I think the score was against the Twins. And Ryan Rucco was calling that series. He called this one too. So Aaron Hicks showed up, but I'll let you talk about what group of people didn't show up in the series.
Yeah, it just our pitching just was a letdown this series. You know, you think, you know, we have Tyone going, and well, to start the first game, we were awesome. So I think DJ leads off with a single, Judge 2-run home run, and then Stanton gets in on the fun with a home run. So when they both homer, we're what, have like a 20-1 record, something like that?
I think it's like 21-2 or something crazy high.
So, like, we virtually win every single game. So, it was, like, in the first inning, they both hit a home run. So, you're like, okay, this is a win now. Like, we don't need to watch the rest of the game. But, obviously, you do. Tyone just did not have it. You know, he goes 4 innings. And, like, he just couldn't put away hitters. He just – you could tell by his stuff. It just wasn't moving. Like, he doesn't walk guys. Mm-hmm. But he was definitely, like – like he didn't have his pitches. It wasn't going where he wanted it. He couldn't put hitters away, so they would just get, you know, 2 strike singles and like, and he was definitely laboring through those 4 innings. You know, he gave up 9 hits, gave up 4 runs. It was not a typical start you would see.
Yeah, but I mean, the rest of this game, the offense was great. And was this the Judge hit 2 home runs this game?
No.
Okay. But the thing with this team is if one of the three, the offense, the starters and the bullpen, if one of them isn't on, it seems like the other two always are. And Tyone wasn't great, but then the bullpen came in and pitched 5 innings of no runs, 3 hits over those 5 innings, no walks. Like, it's just whatever you need the team to do right now, it's 8 out of 10 games, they're going to do it. It's just crazy to watch. Like, 10 runs, now when this team scores 10 runs, it's like, oh, this is a fun game. Like, last year, if the team scored 10 runs, it was like, this is a miracle. Like, this is the greatest thing to ever happen. And now it's just kind of a normal thing. They've scored 10 runs 10 times already this season. They only did it 8 times all of last year, I'm pretty sure. Or 6 times, I think, actually.
Something. Even it's a... it's a turnaround from even at the beginning of the season where we were getting shut out. And you're just like, what's going on with our offense? Like, we knew it wasn't this bad, but we were questioning if they're a good offense anymore. Like, what's happening? But now they have their stuff together. Their Judge is putting up an MVP season. I think he is the MVP at this point. Yeah. I don't think it's arguable.
Yeah, but, like, Trout was right there, but then Trout really had that super cold streak, and now it's Judge is the MVP right now.
Judge is putting up similar, actually better numbers than his rookie year when he hit 52 home runs. And, like, what really separates that, when in his rookie year by the All-Star break, he was also leading in Triple Crown. He was hitting above 300, leading in home runs and RBIs, and you thought he had a chance at it. But what really undid him was the strikeouts. You know, he had that awful stretch where he struck out in, like, what, 30 games in a row? It was a bad stretch. Even now, Judge has gotten his strikeout numbers down, which is really impressive.
I mean, if you look at Aaron Judge's Savant page, it's ridiculous. Like, almost every hitting stat is just bright red. Like, there's, like, four things at 100. Judge has, I think, 48 barrels this year. The next closest is Stanton with 30. And, like that's 18 barrels. It's not even close. Judge is just tattooing the ball. Like, his only bad hitting stat on Savant is strikeouts. And it's, like, 20-something or 30th percentile, so it's not, and it's not horrible. It's not like 2017, didn't he strike out 200 times that year?
I don't think he struck out 200 times, but he came close to it. He
came close. I don't think he's going to get that close this year. It's just, and he's hitting 318 now. It's crazy. Like, he's on pace for 66 home runs.
I think his average has moved up since then, including this game, right?
No, I think it's 318 after this game.
Currently?
Like, current to right now.
So Judge hit a home run that game. You know, DJ also showed up, got three hits. Hicks looked good, like you mentioned earlier. Just whenever he comes to Minnesota, seems like he has his best performance. And then Gallo also showed some signs of life. Another guy that showed up this series.
I mean, game two was overall just a bit of a stinker. There's not a whole lot to talk about. Nestor gave up four runs, so he gave up over three runs for the first time, and I don't know how long.
he looked good early in the start, like through the first three innings, he seemed like he was cruising, and then it just seemed like, I wouldn't say he got hit hard. It just seemed like he just gave up hits. He just kind of, I don't want to say they're unlucky, because it was definitely like legitimate base hits. It's just you're not used to seeing him getting hit like this. Like, overall, this isn't like the worst performance in the world. It's not like the sky is falling or anything. It's just you're not used to him giving up three runs or more. You know, he gave up four runs in four innings, which isn't terrible, I think. You know, with the way the Yankees offense is, you know, it would have given them a chance. It's just that, you know, the Twins pitching was just really good.
Yeah, and Clark Schmidt gave up four runs, which, I mean, this is one of the only times this whole season that Clark has had a bad game. So, like, it sucks, but you got to let it slide. Just like you're going to let Nestor have a bad game every now and again. Like, the bullpen guys aren't going to be perfect every single game. And then the offense was just flat this game. Like, there's really not much to talk about that on that side. The Twins pitching just did a great job. So the series is tied 1-1 at that point, going into the rubber match game three. And this was a wild ride.
So we have Cole pitching the rubber game, and you think, well, you know, he's been on such a great streak, you know, we should be able to win this game easy. You know, you'll see, you know, Cole go like seven innings, maybe two runs at most, and then Yankees will just, you know, take care of it. Yankees scored in the first inning, which was good. I think it was off of a Josh Donaldson sack fly, because who gets things started? Judge worked the walk, able to get the third, and then scored on a sack fly. So we're leading 1-0. You feel good. You have Cole on the mound. he got rocked. The first three hitters, home run.
I mean, I was listening to this part on the radio, and John Sterling was, like, freaking out. He's like, in all of my years of watching baseball and, like, being the broadcaster for these games, I don't think I've ever seen three home runs to start a game.
Yeah. And they were legit home runs, too. Yeah. So first pitch, Arise, who's, you know, the major league leader in average, but he's not a power hitter, takes Cole deep, and you're like, okay, just settle down now. You know, figure it out. You allowed a home run. Buxton hits another home run, and it was also a bomb to left field. And then Correa hits another home run right after.
Yeah, and I was driving to Connecticut from Vermont during this, and the reception wasn't that good. And then it kind of just kept going downhill for Cole, and it got to a point where we were down 7-3.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, because I was going in and out of being able to listen and stuff, so I was like, I'm just gonna listen to this podcast and and just check in once the game is over. But I'll let you talk about what happened after it got to 7-3.
Yeah, I mean, but we were down 3-1. The Yankees did show some early signs of life, because they tied it immediately 3-3 in the top of the second. But then Cole, just another nightmare inning, allows three runs, and you're like, what's going on here? Like, they pulled him from the game, and that I haven't seen Cole have that type of performance. He gave up five home runs this game, and I'm not worried about it.
That's the most of his career.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it, but it's, like, it's shocking to see.
Yeah, I mean, it was very weird. I wonder if he, like, if they found out some tell or something, or, like, what was going on, because this is so unlike Cole. And the fact that he gave up seven runs in two innings and still has a 3.6 ERA just shows how good he's been outside, like, the last however many games. So, like, I mean, one seven inning, no runs, he's right back to, like, a low three. So, he can easily rebound from this, but it was definitely a rough game from him. And then, of course, like we said earlier, the two out of the three, after Cole came out, the whole rest of the game, so that's what, 6 2/3 innings, not a single run was scored. Single hit.
Yeah. Their bullpen was unbelievable. Actually, I think Lutke gave up a hit. But
I said one single hit.
Oh, okay. So the bullpen was unbelievable. The way they got back into this game was Gallo hit a home run, makes it 7-4, and you feel good about Gallo hitting a home run, but you're like, okay, it's only 7-4. DJ immediately back to back makes it 7-5, and you're feeling good about it. Now you're looking at the Yankees pitching, you're like, okay, this 2-run game, like, we could win this game. And we just shut them down. Hicks hits a home run, which is unbelievable. That's only his second home run this year. Mm-hmm. You know, for whatever reason, I know he wanted to be a 30-30 guy.
I don't think he's
but the power just did not show. Yeah. Two home runs, not going to do it. But he gets a home run, and that's just, you know, unbelievable for the Yankees. You know, we're you know, chipping away, which is what you like to see. Hicks hits a home run, and then I think the Yankees, Hicks got another, like, RBI single to, like, put us up in the lead for sure. Like, that was it. So we ended up winning 10-7, and I was just, like, if this was last year, I don't think we win this game.
No.
I think we roll over and die.
Yeah, and something to mention that we forgot, once we tied it up in the top of the second, 3-3, that was off of a 2-run Gallo home run. So Gallo had two home runs in this game, which is what you, like, need to see from him. And the last two series, Gallo has shown life. Like, he's definitely rebounded a decent bit. Like, he's not having a good year still, and still has a lot of work to do, but he's been a lot better the last two series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think I even though Gallows showed the power swing, I think I felt the most confident in Hicks, just because like I don't need Hicks to be a power hitter. I want him to be a guy that gets on base, but also just hit with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't need you to be a power hitter. I would like it sometimes, but you don't need to be that guy. Just get on base and get singles and, you know, keep the line moving.
Mm-hmm. And Gallo recently, like, they've both just been finding holes in the outfield, mm-hmm. which is what they need to be doing. But, this game was just a true test of how resilient this team has been this year. The bullpen was tough as nails, didn't let anything get by, and allowed the team to have a chance to come back in the game. Like, if this was 7-3 in the sixth inning, it'd be a lot tougher, but when they had six innings to work with, and they just chipped back, and I mean, it was, I wish I could have watched the whole game in person, or like live on TV, but
yeah, I was giving Ryan updates. So I was giving him updates on this game and also the Rangers game that was happening. So I was like, okay, Yankees are down 6-3. Cole is like, doesn't look so hot. So I'm not feeling good about this game at all. And then the Rangers were also losing. So it was not looking nice for for New York sports.
Yeah.
The Yankees
turned it around.
Yeah, the Yankees win this series 2-1. Hicks looks better. Even on the field, he threw out Gio Urshela in game one at home, and he was out by a mile.
Yeah.
So Hicks just seems to be turning a corner, you know, defensively and offensively.
Yeah. Great game. Great game overall. So then that brings us into the Cubs series, and something we wanted to talk about real quick. Going into the Cubs series, Clint Frazier was talking a lot of smack, saying how the Yankees clubhouse didn't let him be himself. Like, they had a problem with the way he dressed and like all that stuff, and how he didn't like the facial hair policy and like having to cut his hair, all of this stuff. And he was like, I just think the Cubs clubhouse is great. Like, I like it here. I fit in. Blah blah blah. And then announced right before the game, Clint Frazier was DFA'd by the Cubs.
Yeah, so talked a lot and didn't really get to back it up. It seemed weird. Like, I have a lot of, like, I want Clint to do well, you know? It's just kind of hard he's just, like, every chance he gets, he wants to take a shot against the Yankees.
Yeah, I did want him to do well, but now I don't care anymore. Like, he's trying his hardest to make it seem like the Yankees didn't use him because of literally anything other than his skill. Like, he just wasn't good enough.
Yeah, if he could last play year the, was terrible.
Yeah, and if he could play the outfield with a skill level above a blind raccoon, then, like, maybe he would have had a spot on the team. But he couldn't play defense, and he didn't hit. So it's not because you're hair, Clint. It's not because you like sneakers. It has nothing to do with that. It's because you're not a good MLB baseball player.
Yeah,
for the Yankees, at least.
I mean, not for the Cubs either. He got cut.
I mean,
right?
Yeah.
So for all the talk that we talked about, like Gallo and Hicks sucking, he had a worse OPS plus than both of them.
And that's impressive.
Yeah.
Like, Gallo has a 600 OPS. Like, and then Stroman, the king of talking crap about the Yankees, who's... Ever since George Steinbrenner, or not George Steinbrenner, sorry, Hal, or no, Cashman. Ever since Cashman said Stroman isn't a difference maker for this team and would be probably be out of the bullpen in the playoffs the year that he got traded to the Mets and like the Yankees were rumored. Ever since that happened, Marcus Stroman just talks as much trash as he can about the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yep. It's kind of sad, but... And then he went on the IL. We thought we were going to get to face him, and I was so excited. And then he goes to the IL. So,
yeah. Yep. So I had games to both of them. So I went to two games against the Cubs. I was really excited to see, you know, Clint, and then also just boo Stroman. I was going to boo Clint, although, like, his comments kind of made me want to boo him. Like, but he had his injuries. You know, the concussions, I wish him well. I hope he overcomes that. But it's similar to Andujar, where, like, the outfield is just too crowded and they just don't have a spot. And actually recently, Andujar asked for the Yankees to trade him. There's just not a spot for either of them.
He's good enough to be at least a backup player in the MLB, but he's not good enough to be on a team that's 44-16.
Yeah.
Like, it's just – we have four outfielders already that can all be everyday players and are all better than he is.
Yeah. Yep.
And then we have bench spots that are for Marwin Gonzalez that can play 80 million positions. Matt Carpenter has 17 million home runs per at-bat. And when Tim LeCastro is healthy, like, he's the speed. Yeah. So there's just no – there's no way to fit him on the team that makes sense. Yeah.
It's an embarrassment of riches, really. Yeah. You know, he's a good player. I think he can be a good player on a different team. It's just, it's not on the Yankees, unfortunately.
And as much as we like Miggy, he hasn't been good. Like, even this year when he got called up, he wasn't good. He had some fun hits and some clutch hits, but he still wasn't. Like, Matt Carpenter's been good.
Oh, yeah. Andujar improved his defense. He's still not a good defensive player, but I credit to him to learn a new position and do all that, right? Like, he put in the work. Like, he should be proud of the work that he's done. You know, he played his way back onto the major league roster, but he's not better on, like, people will say he's better than Hicks and Gallo. That's not true.
Yeah, no, he's not even close to the same defender as either of them. And even with how bad they've been, they still had a higher OPS than Miggy. Wasn't hitting the ball hard. He wasn't walking.
And that's the thing. If you're not walking, like, at least, you know, you could get on base and do something. It's if your only way is to hit your way on base, then you need to be hitting really well.
Yeah, and, like, Glaber's average isn't super high, but he's around an 800 OPS, and he's not walking. So that means he's hitting – when he does get his hits, he's getting a lot of extra base hits. So – and he's also hitting the ball hard, which Miggy wasn't doing. So his expected stats look pretty good, too, and Miggy's don't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so going into the Cubs series, I mean, a sweep is – not the expectation, you could get the sweep. It's not like
you would like to see a sweep. So
yeah, you can go.
Yes. Yeah. So going into this game, it was Seve versus Wade Miley. So they that's why they had all those moves. That's why Clint was designated for assignment, because they activated a whole bunch of players off the IL. So they activated Wade Miley, VR, and Chris Martin. So they had too much players on the 40 man, designated Clint, and that was our, you know, starting matchup, Cole versus Wade Miley. And this was a pitcher's duel.
So, I mean, I think the teams went 1-for-31, I think. They combined for 1-for-31 with runners in scoring position this game. It was it was an interesting game, to say the least. With Manfred ball, it still went 13 innings. Before the 13th inning, the only run for the Yankees was a Gleyber Torres solo shot, and the only run for
That came after Wade Miley was pulled from the game. I didn't realize he was hurt, because I was looking. I was like, wait, he went three innings. He's looking good, scoreless so far. I think he only had like 45 pitches in, and then they put in Daniel Norris. First pitch, Gleyber jumps on it, hits a home run, but, you know, it's because Wade Miley's shoulder was, you know, barking. He had an injury, so they took him out.
Yeah, and then the only Cubs home run was a solo home run from Jason Hayward off Seve. I mean, Seve this game, six innings pitched, one earned run, one walk, 10 strikeouts. Like, it was a pretty dominant Seve performance.
He looked really good, and then, you know, the bullpen from there just shut out. It was really crazy. Is that I was telling, I went with Art, so we was like, okay, we're going into extra innings. We hate these, you know, the Ghost Runner, but it was like, well, at least it'll make the game go by faster. It did not make the game go faster. Yeah. We went to the 13th inning.
Yeah, I mean, our bullpen had 7 innings pitched, 2 hits, no runs, 3 walks, so not allowing many base runners over 7 innings at all, not allowing any runs, and they had to use Castro, King, Clay, Clark Schmidt, Wandy Peralta, and Rob Marinaccio. And Schmidt bounced back nicely with two scoreless, no-hit innings.
Was it Clark Schmidt that had the double play, that crazy double play where it was like hit right to him and then,
A great job by the bullpen. And then, of course, the walk-off comes from Jose Trevino on his son's birthday. So he just likes to hit walk-offs on big days for him. I mean, not enough can be said about Trevino. He's such a fun player to watch.
Yep.
And he has his offense is like 20, like Gary Sanchez level offense right now. It's absolutely bonkers what he's doing.
I think he's an all-star catcher, to be honest.
Yeah, I think the only AL catcher that's like they send 2 catchers to the all-star game, right?
Yeah.
It should be Kirk and Trevi. Like,
yeah.
Yep. I'm pretty sure they're far and away hitting better than any other catcher.
Yeah, they've been awesome. Also, on Friday, it was Andy Pettit bobblehead, so I got that as well. So, that was cool. So, so another win, 2-1, Yankees look good, and then we have the next game. And the Yankees just destroy. We have Monty going for us, and then it was, I think, because the Cubs are kind of banged up, so we knew Stroman was going to be on the IL, but then they said that Hendricks was also day-to-day, so I think he was supposed to start this game, and they had Schwarmer pitching instead, and he didn't have a good time. Yeah, it was not a fun time for him.
Yeah, and I mean, the offense this game, the Yankees ended up winning 8-0. Judge had 2 home runs, Stanton had a home run, Glaber had a home run, Trevino had a home run, and Rizzo had a home run. Like,
all solo shots.
The home run numbers are just spiking for this team. Mm-hmm. It's 2019 all over again, 2017, 2018. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever happened to this team in 2021 seems to be a fluke, because they're back to being, I'm pretty sure they've scored the most runs per game. But if not, they're top 5, and they're top 5 in like most offensive categories. Mm-hmm. So, and they have the highest WRC plus. It's just this offense is firing on all cylinders. Like, Judge is having an amazing year, but it everything's just working.
Yeah.
And it's so fun to watch. They're not like, they hit a lot of home runs this series, but they've been winning without hitting home runs too. And Montgomery, the bullpen was shot, so we needed Monty.
Yeah, we needed him to
go at least 6 or 7 innings and get deep into this game. And he muscled through 7 shutout innings, not a single walk given up, and 5 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Like, exactly what we needed.
Yep. Also, so Judge hit 2 home runs this game. Stanton almost hit 2 home runs. Did you see that Twitter exchange between the Cubs and Yankees?
Oh, yep, yeah. When the Cubs were like, the Yankees fans think everything is a home run.
Yeah, and then the Yankees
gave up 5 more home runs. Oh, wait, what did the Yankees say?
They said, can you blame them?
Oh, yeah. Because
the Yankees went on to hit 5 more home runs. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that Stanton hit a 119.8-mile-per-hour home run in this game. That was...
Yeah. Off the bat, like, ridiculous. We knew it was a home run. It was crazy. It was like, how do you hit the ball that hard? Like, that's just – he really does, like, hit home runs, but it looks like he just flicks it and they just jump off his bat.
Yeah. But, 8-0, Marinaccio and Lincky, 2 scoreless innings. Good for them. And then that leads – so we win the first 2 games of the series, and that brings us to today's game. And today's game – was something.
Yeah. So we're facing against Keegan Thompson. Might think it's Keenan Thompson out there, just the way he pitched. You know, he gave up. He only lasted. Actually, he didn't even last the first inning. He got pulled. The Yankees just jumped right off, just teed off against him just early. And, you know, this game, you want to be greedy, right? So we already won the series. It's a bad team. Like, we need to go for the sweep, right? Like, you're happy with winning the series, but let's get greedy here and win. And we have an off day. Yeah. We have an off day tomorrow. So it's like, you know, let's just, you know, take care of business right now.
Yeah. And the Yankees. And this game, Gleyber and Trevino sat because Trevino's been dealing with some back issue. Nothing that, like, he could have played if he needed to. But since they already won the series, they have an off day tomorrow. They're like, okay, let's. Like, we're still going to try and win this game, so we'll use him if we need to later in the game. But
it was also a night game followed by a day game, so it makes sense that you wouldn't want to push it.
And if we can win this game and give him a day off tomorrow, that's just a win-win. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Higashioka decided to hit his first home run of the year in this game and his second. The second was off Frank Schwindel, so a little position player pain.
Did you know that was the softest pitch to become a home run? 30 miles per hour. It was crazy. It just got out there too. Yeah. It wasn't like a moonshot.
It's tough to hit a home run on a pitch like that.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, the Yankees scored 18 runs in this game. Only one of those was off the position player. Sean Newcomb looked like a position player pitching out there. Like, he pitched one inning, gave up five runs. It was just what a like Matt Carpenter, seven RBIs.
I was going to say Higgy isn't the story of the game, even though he hits two home runs. It was Matt Carpenter. He also hit two home runs, and both of them was off of a real pitcher.
Yeah, and had seven RBIs. Like, Matt Carpenter has a 1.592 OPS.
That's insane.
It's
he is our third baseman, right?
I mean, I don't know. Like,
we have to get him in the lineup somehow.
He's hot, I think so. I don't think over the course of the season Matt Carpenter is going to be a better hitter than Donaldson, and definitely probably isn't a better fielder. But
I agree. Yeah. But while he's hot, we have to keep putting him in. Like, he's been unbelievable so far. I think we could still find at bats for him, you know, whether it's at third base, DH, first base if Rizzo needs a day off. But like, we have to find a way to get his bat in the lineup with the way he's hitting right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, in this game we only hit four home runs and still scored 18 runs, so it's not like everything came off the home run. And
Tyone also wasn't as sharp as he usually is, but he went through five innings, got the win. The Cubs, continuing from the extra innings games, just cannot score a runner from scoring position. I think their streak is now like 0 for their last 43 at-bats with runners in scoring position. So that doesn't mean they haven't scored anything. They just haven't gotten a hit. So they gotten, you know, ground outs to score a run, but they have not been really good with runners in scoring position, which is crazy.
Yeah. And Benuelos got his first career save. Obviously, he pitched three innings. So he got a save and an 18-4 win because he pitched three innings. But yeah, I mean, it was a fun game to watch. And right now, Jose Trevino has a .309 batting average with an .861 OPS.
Yeah, that's like, unbelievable. What's going on? That's an all-star. That's an all-star.
That's an all-star for, like, a position that's not catcher. And he's an elite defensive catcher.
Yep.
So.
What a steal. We got him at the beginning of the year for Albert Abreu.
Who's now on the Royals.
Yep. And I think he got blown up today as well.
Yeah. But, wait, we have four minutes left to run through the rest of our stuff. So, Tony La Russa, for anyone that didn't see, and the Dodgers game with Trey Turner up. Trey Turner was in a 1-2 count, and Tony La Russa ended up intentionally walking him to put a man on first and second. And then Max Muncy came up and hit a 3-run home run, which was the difference maker in the game.
It was also two outs as well. So it made no sense why he did it. Like, I wonder what he was thinking, because it just made no sense. Like, even if you go by probabilities, a guy down 1-2, you're more likely to get an out at that situation. It wasn't like it was 2-0, 2-1, and you're like, okay, let me just, you know, intentionally walk him here. Like, we tried to, you know, pitch around him, and, like, no, it was 1-2. They had him in a hole.
Yeah.
I'm baffled by that decision, and the White Sox fans are frustrated. They're losing to the Rangers, and then they started screaming, you know, fire La Russa, because they gave up the lead. So it seems like Chicago is kind of fed up with Tony La Russa.
Yeah, and then for the NL East, the Phillies just lost today, but they were on a 9-game winning streak beforehand, mm-hmm. and the Braves are on an 11-game winning streak. And the Mets lead is only 5 games now. Like, they've been, they're 5-5 in their last 10. The other two teams are on fire. So that's just, it's going to be a fun race to watch.
Yeah. So before their streak, an SNY reporter said, yeah, the NL East is over. The Mets have it on lock. And nope, both teams have been on fire. Shows that you can't just predict baseball. You know, this is going to go down to the wire. You know, I think the Mets have the best, like, shot at winning the division, but you can't just declare stuff is over, which is a lesson you should take here with the Yankees. Even though we're 8.5 up, we have a tough schedule coming up. So we're facing, you know, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Tampa Bay again. So,
and then,
you know,
Houston.
And then Houston, exactly. So this is a tough, you know, set. So just keep in mind, we have a big lead, but we got to just keep on doing what we're doing.
Yeah, and those four series with those days off is really going to show what this Yankees team is about. I'm excited for it. And then the last, like, MLB piece of news we have is Jared Walsh hit for the cycle, which, I mean, it's cool, but we just want to mention it.
That's the third cycle this year, you know. So there's Yelich hit one, Eduardo Escobar for the Mets hit one a couple of days ago beforehand, and then Walsh, but wanted to note it. It's cool. It's special.
So that's about all we got. Like Chinner said, our next matchup is against the Rays. It's gonna be a good matchup. We're at home this time, so let's see if we can take 2 out of 3. But let's shoot for the sweep. Just knock them out. Get that lead bigger and bigger. Then do the same to Toronto, and we'll be back once that series is over. So as always, if you enjoyed the episode, remember to leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. If you're on YouTube, love to see some comments, like the video, subscribe if you want to see more. And if you want to reach out to us, we on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story. We always check those. So yeah, it was another good week of Yankees baseball. As always, let's go Yanks.
Let's go Yankees. Let's play ball. Let's keep on winning.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks. Bye.